Well, it's a good crowd today, and good morning, and welcome to really the first. Oh, we have microphones. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's cool. Be careful what you say. We've all been there before.
We have lots of chairs up here, too.
Yeah, there's chairs up here. If you want to, I know there's folks standing back there. Come on up front. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 chairs or so.
And more of that.
You're not allowed to stare me in the eyes, though. It doesn't work.
Come on, y'all.
Okay. Let's call a meeting to order. And Susan Skelton, could you please call roll?
Yes, sir. Mr. Benz?
Here.
Mr. Bonezzi?
Here.
Mr. Connolly?
Here.
Dr. Dana?
Here.
Senator Gates?
Here.
Mr. Riggs?
Here.
Mr. Shudd?
Here.
All right. I want to have some opening remarks and a welcome. We have two new board members, and I want to welcome them. Everybody knows President Don Gates, a new member of the board, and we all know that he is the father or mother, whatever, of this, why we're here today. I think it's father, but I'm not going to go there. That, you know, I just stepped in something.
There's 27 bad, different genders now,
yeah,
Speaker.
Yeah, I know. But he's legend. He is a legend. I have a great deal of respect for President Gates. I'm glad to see him on this board. He will be a really, really great addition to it. We also have Jason Schoaf from Gulf County. Jason is in the gas business in Gulf County, very active, sort of the up-and-coming group there in Gulf, and I'm very eager to see if everything they say about you is in fact correct, Jason. So we'll find out pretty soon. But welcome to the new members. A little history. We've been around now for about 2 years unofficially. Legislation was passed last month that basically put us into play. And by the way, before I forget, where's Senator Broxton? I know he's here somewhere. Senator Broxton, welcome. Are there any other state reps or state senators that I missed? I could go on with the city councilman, but then you get it wrong. Done that too. So, legislation passed in May that officially created Triumph, and then in June the governor signed the bill, putting it into play. About 2 weeks later, mid-June? Susan, was it mid-June that we were able to get money? On June 21st, we were able to receive the $300 million. And that wasn't, believe it or not, that was tough because the state did not want to let go of that money. It's kind of like we had to snatch it from them, but I'm playing. The money first went from the state treasury into Department of Economic Opportunity, DEO, to their trust fund. We created bank accounts here to have the money wired in, and then it was the bulk of it was immediately wired out to the State Board of Administration to be invested. And currently, that money is earning interest every day. How much interest have we earned?
As of June 30th, sir,
we just ought to stay in the banking business. So $97,000, that's for June the 1st. So, I will tell you, we worked very hard to make sure that I figured out how much money every day we were losing. And we had Jeff Atwater, who was CFO then, very involved in it. Their staff was very helpful and because I wanted to get that money in there earning interest. We have not met in a while. I wanted to wait, and I think the board members wanted to wait until we had the two new additions to the board. I did not think it would be fair, even though we had the legislation, we had the money in the bank. I didn't think it was fair to make decisions that might have future ramifications without those two members there. So we're glad that about 10 days ago, the Senate President and Speaker added their additions, as we outlined earlier. So we're now a seven-member board, and we're ready to go. And that the day after that happened, I suggest that we have a meeting soon, now, ASAP, And so today was a day that all seven members could participate. And we have some organizational issues to cover. We have, frankly, it's not going to be that long a board meeting. We're going to have an election of officers. We're going to go over minutes, the previous meetings, and things like that. And we're going to begin assigning responsibilities for future activities, which we'll talk about soon, and who will be working on those responsibilities. I would like to have another meeting in about 3 or 4 weeks, as soon as we can. I ask all the board members to bring their calendars with them so that we can figure out when the next board meeting is. I anticipate the next board meeting would probably involve getting up to speed on things like legal counsel, CPA, et cetera, as well as a workshop on how we put in place a process for analyzing requests and for pursuing opportunities out there that the region, the eight counties, can pursue. So having said that, I want to open with, we have the June 14th meeting minutes. You have those in your packet. Are there any? I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Motion to approve.
Is a motion? Is there a second?
Second. Yes, sir.
There's a second. Having a motion and a second, are there questions? Is there debate? Are there any? Is there anyone opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. The next thing I want to do is let's have an election of the chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. We also have to ratify actions taken at the June 14th meeting. Susan, do you want to explain that for us?
Yes, sir. The June 14th meeting was held by telephone. It was considered a special meeting. There were members present in the room, but there was also the telephone component of the meeting, and it was action taken without the full seven members of the board. And I'm going to read to you what the actions were, and then the request would be for a motion to ratify the actions that were taken by the five-member board on the 14th of June.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The execution of a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Economic Opportunity that this document takes the place of an authorizing resolution used by financial institutions.
Stated differently, before we could get our $300 million from the DEO, we had to come up with a memorandum of understanding. And at that meeting, we came up with an MOA or MOU. And that allowed us to receive the $300 million. Keep on, Susan.
Yes, the second document was a corporate authorization resolution establishing an operating account at the First National Bank of Northwest Florida. The third document was an authorization.
That was so we could receive the money.
Third document was an authorizing resolution for participation in the local government surplus funds trust fund. This is the SBA prime fund.
That's the state board of administration where the bulk of the money is being held.
Yes, sir. The fourth resolution was a resolution authorizing Mr. Bentz and Mr. Conley to execute the corporate authorization resolution, the authorizing resolution for participation in the local government surplus funds trust account, and to take any and all steps necessary to open the relevant accounts to be able to move the funds from the state of Florida into the Triumph Trust account. And the final action that was taken was the approval of a statutorily required report, the June 30th report, to the governor, Senate president, Speaker of the House. The approved report has been delivered to all of those authorities. And that's what is included. There's a memo in your packet that's a resolution to adopt those actions that were taken at the June 14th meeting.
So to summarize, with the exception of the very last item, we were focused on getting the $300 million into an interest-earning position. And I think the first four resolutions that you talked about that we did dealt with that transfer, setting up a relationship with the State Board of Administration. Even though we didn't have the two new board members on board, I felt we needed to get that done to, frankly, get the money out of the state and into our hands. Because now it's in the hands of a privately owned corporation, and tough to get that money back. So and the last one, the last part of that was housekeeping that we had to do with the governor's office, Senate, and House from an accountability perspective. Good summary?
Yes.
Everyone understand? Or I'll entertain a motion to ratify the actions that were taken at the June 14th meeting.
So move.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. Can I get back? Can I move on now, Susan Boss? You sure it's okay?
Yes.
All right. One of the things that we do, that we need to do, is have an annual election of the chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. I will open the floor up for nominations and second for chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go.
Okay.
Good. So, first of all, let me take a little liberty now that I've got the microphone up to say how honored I am to serve alongside these people all to my left here. I just crossed over 5 years with Gulf Power Company, and I can remember very early in my tenure sitting down with many of the folks to my left, particularly Speaker Bentz and President Gates. One of the very first conversations President Gates and I had was about the ramifications of the oil spill. So we've been talking about this for over 5 years now, and it's really nice to see this come to fruition, to us get to the point of doing the things we said we wanted to do starting 5 years ago. So I just want to say to my peers, welcome, number one, and I'm honored to work alongside you as we do this going forward. My motion, Mr. Chairman, has to do with the chair and the vice chair role, with a little bit of a twist on that. I think it's important for us as a board to think about leadership continuity. I think it's important for us to think about transitions in leadership. And I think in keeping with the bylaws that we're going to be talking about, that annual review of the officers of the organization, I think it appropriate to think about the two leaders on this table that have honored Northwest Florida so much over the, not just the past 5 years, but the past 20, 30 years. And I look at Alan Bentz as a former speaker. Obviously, he has shepherded us along very well over the last 2 years, keeping this process moving in a very informal way, but nonetheless brought us to where we are today. And then I'll use the word father. I won't use the word mother. The father of this legislation.
I blew that. Forgive me, dog.
And I do.
Don't say grandfather.
No, I was very careful not to go there either. But look, I think it'd be appropriate that we as a board recognize that leadership, thinking about continuity and transition. So my motion would be for Speaker Bentz to remain chair through the end of this year as we continue this period of transition and organization, but go ahead and plan for the leadership transition. And my motion would also include nominating President Gates to be vice chair and chair-elect effective January 1 of next year. I think that would do a nice job of giving us two of the strongest leaders Northwest Florida's ever seen, but certainly two people that are very close to this and lead us through this transition as we get ready to help this region. So, to be clear, my motion would be for Alan Bentz to remain chair or become chair, I guess, through the election, through the end of this year, but go ahead and plan for the orderly transition and motion to have President Gates be the vice chair and chair-elect effective January 1.
I'll second.
There's a motion. And Jason, you second it. First of all, I'm honored. I appreciate that. Hopefully we can get this done. And I'm honored also to work with President Gates. I was a very average speaker. He was a great Senate President. He was a great Senate President. And that's why we're here today. So I think it would be, you have two former presiding officers of chambers that can kind of really move us forward. And I support it, but I'll let President Gates comment as well.
Well, Mr. Speaker, just to say I look forward to working under your leadership, learning from you, and trying to keep the ball rolling as you've already put it in play. We got a lot of work to do, but what a distinguished group of people. If we're going to start a company, Speaker, in Northwest Florida, and we were looking for the seven people we wanted to be on the board of directors of our multi-million-dollar company, these are the people we try to recruit. So I look forward to working with everybody, and especially under your leadership, Mr. Speaker.
Well, trust me, by January 1, I'm ready to move on. You got it. This baby has been a tough one to give birth to over the last 2 years, but it worked great. And again, I agree with you. What a fantastic board we have. Everyone here signs the front side of the paycheck, and that means, and that was your original thought, Mr. President, was to have business people make sure we spend this money prudently and wisely, deliberately and thoughtfully. And I can tell you, I know I will, and I can assure you that Don Gates and the other members of this board will do that. Now, Susan, you had your hand up.
You need to take a vote.
Oh, I know, but we got to talk a little bit.
I just want to thank Stan for that creative way to go about this. I think it's very thoughtful, and I'll vote for it for sure.
We have a motion and a second. Are there questions? Any discussion? Any more discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Now I'd like to, we got chair and vice chair. How about secretary? Is there anyone who want to nominate themselves or someone else to be secretary? Oh, come on.
Mr. Speaker, could I ask a question, please?
Absolutely.
As I looked at the proposed bylaws, and councils here can correct me, the secretary does not have to be, by my reading, does not have to be a member of the board. And for this is just a question, Speaker, would it be at all useful to have the executive director function as secretary because a lot of the custodial duties
sure.
functionally get done by the secretary, by the executive director anyway?
Anybody have any objections to that?
If that's acceptable, Mr. Speaker, I would move that Susan Skelton be named as secretary of the board, subject to her confirmation as executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Pam Dana seconds. Any questions? First of all, Ms. Skelton, assuming you get approved, you okay with that?
Yes, sir. It's what I've been doing.
Okay.
My answer.
Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing no objections, the motion passes. Treasurer. That's a lot of money, by the way. It's a lot of money.
I'd like to move that Stephen Riggs Jr. be considered for treasurer.
Okay, CPA. Great idea. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Jason seconds it. Are there any questions?
Do you want to do it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He loves money.
I love money. I take it.
Any questions?
Who wouldn't want it as collected?
Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Stan, can you give us a report on the status of our funds?
Sure. So you've already heard
the ratification.
Well, it's going to be very short and sweet. You heard the ratification of what we did last month, moving the money around. I did ask Lisa Walters on my behalf to present to you quickly the bank statements, if you will. So I'd like to just ask her to do that real quickly.
Certainly. At Florida Prime, we have $299,897,082.54. That is earning at an interest rate of 1.18. You'll recall that placing the funds at First National Bank, Northwest Florida, we established a $25,000 account for purposes of routine expenses. And we also established a business money market account.
Okay. Members, any questions?
That'd be the report for this month, Chairman.
Okay. I don't think that requires a motion, does it? That doesn't require it. Okay. Next on the agenda is appointment of an executive director. And I'm going to recognize Steve Riggs to open this discussion.
Yeah. I think that Susan has done an excellent job so far shepherding us through this initial period. She's just been heavily involved, heavily organized, is very, very on top of things. And I think we could do a lot worse than having Susan Skelton be our executive director.
She will hunt you down on the weekends.
And she will. She calls me on the weekends. She calls me two or three times a week to kind of keep me updated. So I don't know if I'll offer up any additional discussion on your thoughts on the executive director?
I can tell you I've interfaced with her for 2 years now, and especially this last year when things began to really, the fireworks began with respect to bills in the House and Senate. She calls me 4 or 5 times a day, drives me crazy. So, Don, I can't wait for January 18th. I cannot wait, man. You get her calls then.
No, I'm playing.
She's worked tirelessly, and I've had the opportunity to know Susan for a couple decades. Very professional. You'll never find, if there's a negative word said about her, I would take a look at the person saying a negative word about her, because she's as classy as they get, as organized, as efficient. She understands all the rules, all the laws, and that's not easy sometimes, but her experience is great. So, again, I would wholeheartedly endorse that movement. Any other comments?
Wholeheartedly support.
Okay, I need a motion.
Make a motion to appoint Susan Skelton, our executive director.
Second.
Second by President Gates. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, show the motion passes, and congratulations to Susan Skelton. Thank you for your hard work.
So I'm assuming that you, as the chair, will work with her on her all the contracting terms and such?
Hopefully. I don't have a number for compensation yet, but we are restricted by statutes as to how much we can pay. And my instincts tell me in our very brief discussions, it'll be below what the statutes call for. And a lot of it's because Susan put 30 years in with the state.
Yes, sir.
30 years in with the state and has a retirement plan in place. So we got lucky on this one. So if the board will give me the authority to negotiate a contract price-wise, as well as detail responsibilities. Is that okay if I do that on behalf of the board?
I move it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Good deal. I don't think it probably doesn't require a second. Does it, Lisa? Well, let's make it a motion.
Second.
President Gates moves. Pam Dana seconds. That I negotiate a contract in terms of performance expectations, pay, et cetera, for our new executive director, Susan Skelton. There's a motion and a second. Are there questions?
I have one question about my own motion.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to change my – learn to say Mr. Chairman instead of Mr. Speaker, because he's always Mr. Speaker to me. So, Mr. Speaker, this is just a question. Because of the way that you've been able to convince people to sort of work for the good of the order, and you haven't had funds up until now, would it be appropriate, and would the board agree to also empower you to make some recompense to Ms. Skelton for the time that she has spent in recent months as the work of this board has heated up? So that we don't feel as though we've taken advantage of her. Would that be a friendly suggestion?
I think it's a great idea. Legal counsel, can we do that? We can?
Sure we can.
Okay, great. Great. Then that would be a component of that motion that you just made.
Yes, sir.
There's a motion and a second. Any more questions? Any more discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, show that the motion passes. Next, we want to move on to appoint committees to consider professional services needs. We need a lawyer and we need a CPA, basically. Correct, Susan?
Yes, sir.
Lisa, correct?
Yes,
I mean, those. I would like to, in the next 3 weeks, if not sooner, when we meet again, 3 to 4 weeks, I would like for this committee, these two committees, to come back with recommendations. What, one recommendation, two recommendations? It's up to you folks. For a lawyer, for a legal firm, as well as for a CPA firm. I would suggest that our treasurer, Steve Riggs, head up the committee to come up with a list of, how many names should we, one name? Should the committee come up with one name? Well, I'm wide open for that.
As long as you're okay with us, just come up with recommendations. We don't have to go through a formal RFP process.
That's correct. Correct, Lisa?
Okay. I can come up with a recommendation.
Okay. And who wants to serve with him on that? I would like to have one more person serve on that committee. Anybody want to volunteer? Jason, you want to volunteer?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Why don't you volunteer to work with Steve on that committee? And if you would, at our next meeting, come back with a recommendation as to who you think our CPA should be.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes, sir.
Just as a point of review for how we handled our bank, we did not do an RFP there either. We solicited those that might be interested. So if I just give that to you as a point of consistency of how we've done business before for you to consider, for the committee to consider going forward on this.
Okay. Thank you.
Legal team, same thing. I don't know who would like to head that part of it up. You can raise your hand. It's wide open. I can tell you Lisa's done a great job for us, but she also understands that, you know, it was sort of pro bono work. But I would like for somebody to head up that team.
I'll be happy to, Mr.
Okay.
Speaker.
President Gates, you're in charge. I need a second person on that committee. I would like to see a second person on that committee. Bob, you want to do it? Bob and Essie. Okay, we got Bob and President Gates heading up the committee to come up with a recommendation as to who our legal counsel will be at our next meeting. Everybody okay with that?
Chairman, just a thought consistent with President Gates's comment on our executive director. Lisa and her firm have done a great deal of work for us so far, and I think we're very clear with them on the front end that it in no way guaranteed ongoing efforts. But I think maybe consistent with what the President said on the executive director, we ought to consider some form of recognition for the work they've done so far, which has been extensive, and maybe handle that before the bids come in or the recommendation gets made.
I'm okay with that.
Consideration.
Anyone have any objections to that? Good. Okay, so let's figure, since you're chairman of that committee, that search committee, maybe as chairman we can figure out, you know, the time and the efforts have been put into what
they've
done, that firm has done, and try to make them whole as possible. Any more committees that anyone thinks need to be set up?
I think those two will go a long way to keep us moving.
Next, let's review and adopt proposed bylaws. Lisa Walters, you're up.
Yes, sir. These bylaws were originally presented to you, the previous members, back in November of 2016. We have edited them to reflect the actual legislation that was passed in some kind of governor as it relates to business affairs on the committee. Happy to answer any questions. We've actually answered a few of my questions today. One was with regard to the continuity of leadership. I will need to go back and edit them some to provide that the election of the vice chair fits in that leadership chain, if you will. And I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have. Also, President Gates, I suggest that we clarify if it's not clear enough to the rest of the board that the secretary does not in fact have to be a member. If it's not specified, then it does. But if you wish to make that clear, we'll be able to. The bylaws do provide for an annual year of January 1 to December 31. Your prerogative to change that if you'd like to. In the future, the bylaws provide for the election of officers in October with them to take office the following January 1. Those are all items that at your discretion to change. So if anyone has questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, sir. I believe that the comments that council has made fall within the category of Scrivener's changes, and consequently, with those changes to be made, as she has described, I move the bylaws.
And also the January 1 through 12/31 fiscal year, do you agree with that as well?
Yes, sir. That's in the bylaws.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. There's a motion to approve the bylaws subject to the Scrivener's errors that that we just talked about. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Bob Benezzi seconds. Any questions about the bylaws? Any discussion on the bylaws? Any objections to the bylaws? Seeing none, or to the motion. Motion's approved. Next, let's talk about an update on the awards process and recommendation for next steps. And I'm sure this is what many of you are here today to find out how this process is going to work. But we don't know yet. But we're going to find out pretty soon, trust me. In the past, I've asked Pam Dana to take the lead in the development of the awards process. And she's begun working with staff to determine issues and decisions that will need to be discussed at the next board meeting. But I'm hoping at the next board meeting we can begin to have narrowed down this process. But before I say any more, I'm going to turn this over to Pam Dana to talk about what your expectations are in the process and how we move forward.
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, since we had two new members that were expected on this council, it was kind of premature for us to take forward steps and say this is what we're going to do with the process. Yes, I have been working with the legal team and staff on possible ideas and securing template proposals, RFPs, what have you, to get some ideas, and also reaching out to professional organizations that represent economic development in the state, Enterprise Florida, Great Florida Northwest, and at each juncture they've been very helpful and receptive and offering of their time and assistance wherever need be. But we'd be remiss to go forward in this process without ensuring that we have input from the region in which we represent, Northwest Florida. So, Lisa, you and I had this discussion about how we do that, how we get input and, as much as possible, incorporate that into a thoughtful, productive process for these the applications. Obviously, we want projects that are game changers for this region. How we get there, that's our challenge. But we'll get there. We're bouncing around ideas of sustainability. How do we ensure that projects that we invest in can be sustainable and not each year be dependent upon this fund? And how can we ensure that, you know, we maximize the use of these funds for investment? Should we necessarily have a drop-dead deadline for proposals, or should it be a rolling kind of a procedure where if a tremendous project comes to bear itself after the deadline, if we had a set deadline, would they be out in the cold? If we had a rolling process, then, you know, we'd be able to consider that. So these are all things that are being bounced around. Nothing's set in stone. Lisa, do you have anything to offer on?
I think you captured most of our conversations, and I think as we talked, the first step is, or next step perhaps, to have the workshop would be a clear definition of what the statute allows the board to do, what the limitations are on the award themselves, the recipients, addressing the need for the clawback provisions, and understanding exactly what the statute is, because as Dr. Dana and I talked about what the specific language is, a lot more of the ideas came out as to what the application should look like and what issues must be addressed. So we'll continue to work with you in developing that outline.
So great. That's my thinking and work to present, but I'd welcome any of the other council members.
And anyone that wants to participate can participate. This is
absolutely.
She's in charge of it. That doesn't mean other members can't have input, and I will tell you, about a month or so ago, I spoke with President Gates about the overall process. You know, is this sort of what you envisioned? And, you know, he made a good point. You know, I'm sure the counties will each have their recommendations, and they should have them. But that doesn't mean we just sit and take orders. There's no reason why we can't go out and hunt good businesses. And we have a ton of elected officials, congressmen, U.S. senators, who can assist us with federal matching funds. We can maybe figure out and use the resources that all of us have to identify potential big employers. So let's don't just be reactive. And that's sort of what we talked about last month. I mean, let's go after it. Let's don't just wait. That's never been my style. I mean, you got to be aggressive and go forward. So that would be something I would want to make sure we incorporate in that. But members, any thoughts on the process? Jason?
I have many thoughts, but I guess how would we work together on that under sunshine? How would we be able to share ideas?
You can't talk. And I don't expect you to.
I've got some things I'd like for her to consider, or for the board to consider, and she's working on this. What is the best way for us to share those thoughts without doing anything wrong?
I think that Dr. Dana is probably going to suggest a workshop for part of the next meeting so that members can sit and have these conversations in the public.
Excellent.
Because you really are restricted from having them in private. You can't do that. So I think that would give everybody an opportunity to have those views expressed.
Yeah, I think the workshop is a good way to go, but with so many ideas and so many perspectives, I wouldn't expect it to be a short workshop.
Hence, the gallows. Yes, it may have to be multiple times, but again, I think that's best discussed in an open forum in a workshop.
I agree.
Yes, sir, Jason.
Just a question, because I know you're coming up on the status of the website. This is partially a legal question, partially a technical question, maybe in answer to Jason's point, and that is some organizations are able to have a feature on their website where members of the board can throw out ideas, can react to ideas, can share articles or information that they want to share, and the public can see everything. But the only contributors to the website or to that feature are the members of the board. But the public sees every word and can read every word. Is that a feature that might be helpful? I might have some thoughts for Dr. Dana, or somebody here might have some thoughts for Mr. Benezzi and me about legal counsel. And we can't talk to each other except at a meeting, but if we have a fully transparent website where the public can see exactly what we're saying, my understanding is that comports with the law. And as we're looking at our website development, is that something that might be useful? And it's just more a question than anything.
I think it's a great idea.
Technically, I believe it can be done. I want to run it by the Sunshine Law folks just to be sure mm-hmm. we're covered and do it in the right way if that's something that the board wants to do.
Great idea.
So is it the plan then the next time we're together to have the workshop? Is that the punchline in that part of it?
Yeah, I don't know that we can go too much further without, doing so.
I think that'd be great if we could do it next time we're together. And I'd just add, similar to what's already been said, I'd couple it with, had the pleasure of attending with others in the state, many of the folks in this room, that your county's represented, Paris Air Show. And there's a number of big industries that know Triumph Now is out there. And I got asked about it before I could talk about it. And so I think the real opportunity is there. We've got this moment in time, not just in the aerospace industry. That's just one example. I think not only the Southeast and the United States, the world's watching what we're doing right now. We've got some real opportunity. And the faster we can get out there with a sound, transparent process, I think there's real opportunity to be gained. So I support doing it quickly.
Last year I went to a convention in Dallas. We were on behalf of Bay County at that point in time. And when it was they had booths and so on and dinner. And finally people began to come up saying, you're that Triumph guy, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, man, we hear you got a lot of money. I said, not yet, but we will one day. But to Stan's point, it's getting out there. I mean, $300 million will attract a lot of attention, as evidenced by this room. So we need to capitalize on that, do the best we can to get that done. So at our next meeting, and we'll figure out when the next meeting is going to occur in just a minute, that will be a workshop that we have. I anticipate at the next meeting we will come up with legal counsel, in-house or a CPA firm. And I would be mindful for those of you that are involved in both the, especially our CPA, you know, I want to make sure that when we are audited, and we will be audited by the Auditor General's office, I assume, with the state of Florida, I want that to be a good audit. I mean, if there's 15 or 20 errors that we've done, that hurts our credibility, guys and gals. I mean, we need to make sure. So I would hope that the firm you end up with has experience in dealing with the Auditor General's office. And hopefully they're headquartered, I'm throwing this in one of the eight counties. That would be nice. It's not a requirement, but same thing with our attorney. It would be nice if they were in the eight counties. So, good?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try not to embarrass myself by having 15 audit adjustments.
I got you. Well, I'm not, with Susan there, I'm not too worried about nefarious things occurring. But still, we need to have good oversight.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
You know, Pam mentioned getting ideas from the public. Is there a way to solicit information from the public, maybe prior to our meeting? Other than the 3 minutes,
it'd be nice if we could do that.
I'll see what I can do with that on the website.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because yeah, I mean, look, the counties may have some ideas on how they want this process to kind of what it should look like. Some other local municipalities may have some. The private sector may have some ideas. So if there was a way to get that information again, other than the 3 minute stand up that we're going to have, that may be helpful.
And I want to remind not just the members, but also counties, cities, and other municipalities, that we do have $300 million. That's the good news. The better news is if we spend that $300 million properly and prudently and efficiently, there's another $1.2 billion out there. Now, we're not guaranteed that additional $1.2 billion, but if we do well and we are able to do some really neat things, I think that's a very good case. And President Gates understands it more than I do, but it'd be real tough for the legislature to take away the other $100 million per year for 12 years if we're doing a good job. Would you agree, President Gates?
Yes, sir.
So just a reminder, it's very critical that we spend this money prudently and in an efficient manner. Any more comments?
Susan, you have...
Yes.
Go ahead.
You have a sign-up sheet for folks in here and with their email address that is attached?
People should have signed up when they came in the door. If you didn't, please do that as you leave. That's our record of the members who are present or public who's present. There's also a public comment sheet. Luckily, it doesn't have 400 names.
Yeah. The reason why I brought that up is if it does have contact information, then that also enables you when
yes.
after you noodle.
And what I do when I take that sign-up sheet, I add all the people who signed up to the email list that goes out for public notification. And soon we'll have the website available as well to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
You like that noodle term, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Any more comments, members?
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how you wanted to handle this, but I'd like to make a suggestion, and if you find it appropriate, I'll make it in the form of a motion that the chairman, working with the executive director, be authorized to find a modest location for Triumph Gulf Coast so that our folks have a place to work and people have a place to come by and communicate with us and drop things off somewhere centrally located, perhaps, equally inconvenient to everyone in the eight
Except
counties.
Except you and I, maybe, right?
but would that be all right, or do you have a different way you want to approach location?
The only motion I would add that the chair and vice chair work with the executive director on that location. And I don't know what your thoughts are. Do we have multiple locations? The last thing I want to have, and we've talked about this before, is I don't want to be on the top floor of a 12-story high-rise paying $50 a square foot rent. I'm exaggerating to make a point. But, you know, I think a nice storefront somewhere. We don't know yet what our staffing needs are. But in this case, and correct me if I'm wrong, members, we won't have, I think a central location is probably fine. And I hate to say this, but when you got $300 million, they're going to find out where you are. I mean, they're going to figure out where we're located. I don't think we should have a branch in every county unless there's folks that have a different thought. I mean, I haven't made up my mind on that. It's your motion, Mr. President. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would agree with you that we ought to have a low overhead, modest approach to officing. But I would think our executive director could determine a couple of ways to go. But I would just want to have a motion in play, sorry, with you, that would authorize you and the executive director, anybody else you want to include, to contract for office location, to get essential office equipment so that we have a public address and location for business. That'd be my motion.
To get started.
That's a great place to start. I would second that motion.
Okay, there's a motion and a second that we also include the vice chair in that location search. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections?
Discussion. What would be the best we could hope to achieve with a walk-in location as far as giving the public access? I'm just new to this process, and I was curious. Do you think the people would come in and have questions or want to drop off their application? Or what would be the good for it?
Mr. Speaker, I don't think we could expect or need to plan for a lot of walk-in traffic, you know, unless Susan's, you know, giving away candy or baked goods or something. But I do think you have to have a place to work, number one, and that the place to work needs to be accessible to the public. If somebody wants to come by and say, I'd like to look at your books, I'd like to see what kind of an application you have to fill out here, because I've got a good idea. I'd like to look somebody in the eye and talk to them. I think you can't hide from the public, but I don't think we need to have a expensive retail location. I think Speaker can certainly speak for himself, but I think what he may have been meaning by storefront is modest as opposed to, fancy schmancy. But, Speaker, whatever you think.
Yes, absolutely. Those are my thoughts. And I think, despite seeing people nod their heads, but we'll make sure, clearly, before any location is approved, we will certainly make sure the board is aware of it, and everyone can have their say to make sure they go along with, A, the location, and, B, the price per square foot. And as the application process begins to evolve, we'll probably have a better feel for manpower requirements, which will probably help drive the amount of square feet of space that we will need. I mean, the logic just tells me that. So all that's going to happen fast in the next 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, we're going to make some pretty good progress here. And frankly, let's go ahead. There's a motion and a second. We got through discussion. Are there any objections to the motion? I don't think we voted on the motion, did we? Yeah. Okay. So that motion passes. Jason, be sure you have input on that because it's something that's important to you. I understand. Okay, website, Susan Skelton.
Good morning. We are.
Do you want to grab that microphone?
What? We are in the discussion, the development phase of the website. As we announced at the last meeting, the website address is myfloridatriumph.com. What you see here is just, and I'm sorry, members, you'll have to turn around to see it on the screen. Is just the front page template here, and I'll be able to show you a couple of the pull-down pages. We're still in the building process, and as you'll see to the right of the bottom in that blue thing, it says coming soon for application process, and we've got a hold for that because we don't know what the application process is. Eventually, we will get an application process, and we hope to have applications to be available to be submitted online. But that's a piece that hasn't been built yet. If you go here, we have the member pages, and you begin to see what we're beautiful sketch of each of the members and where
they're from. Coming soon. That'll take a long thing for your bio.
Pam and Steve are working on it. They'll get there. And so we just, this is just for members to be able to see that we have the ability for the public to be able to see who's making the decisions about the funding. We did take some security measures. We didn't include information about families or any of that type of thing there. If you look here to this page, this will be where you'll find information. Excuse the Latin, I haven't finished writing there. You'll see that you have a location for your upcoming meeting. If you click here, you'll see the meeting announcement and then the agenda, which we've seen that.
Good start. A lot of work left.
So bottom line, you were beginning to see the pieces. If you wanted to see what was going on with the past meetings, there's a list here of each of those meetings. This was the meeting. This was the meeting that was just held in Panama City. You'll see it gives the location of the meeting and all of the documents that were included in that meeting. So basically, we're in the building process, we're moving forward, and we look forward to being a live website in the very near future, hopefully by the end of this month.
That's good. Who's doing our website, Susan?
I'm working with a small company in Franklin County, Florida, the 2K Web Group. It's a great group of young people who have done good work over the years. I've been watching them for several years. As you know, my second home location is in Franklin County, and I've watched them over the years, and when this opportunity presented itself and we needed to start to move forward, I visited with them on whether they could handle the scope of work for something like this. They indicated they could, so we've begun working with them, and they've done great work so far. Well, we don't have a contract with them yet, but we're working that direction. But they've been doing good work, and so far I've been pleased with them meeting their goals and their deadlines.
Any questions? Good start. Good start. Any questions? And we'll get to audience in just a minute. Let's come up with a proposed schedule for upcoming meetings. Probably all brought your calendars. I'm sort of inclined to meet on a monthly basis, at least through December. We have a lot of ground to cover. And I know it's a lot of work, and it's tough to organize seven people's calendars, and maybe quarterly after that, beginning in 2018. But that's just my thought. Anybody have any other thoughts on that?
I think that's logical.
Okay. How about August 15th? How does that fit on for our next meeting? How does that fit in your calendars?
It's going to be a struggle for me.
Would this be a workshop one or just a meeting?
This is a meeting and a workshop.
Okay.
Start calling out times.
How about the 16th?
July. 16 would be on a Wednesday. It's good for me.
I'm fine unless I say I'm not.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, let's
August
do that.
16th.
When we call these dates out, if I don't hear from you, that means we're good. So August 16th, same time, location to be determined. August 16th it is.
Oh, 10:30, yeah.
Okay, that is, what is it, a month from today? Close to it. A lot of work to be done between now and then. Are there any additional member comments?
Before we close out on schedule, we'll be asking our executive director to now look for dates for the remaining months of the year. You'll come back to us with those suggestions.
Yes.
So it'd be good to go ahead and get them out there.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes, sir.
What about the workshop that was discussed?
That'll be at the next meeting. I mean, I'm anticipating, I could be wrong, Susan, you and I chatted. At the next meeting, we go through the housekeeping of legal and CPA, any other items that come up, but that's primarily a workshop. Susan, was that your idea?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay with everybody, that concept?
Yes, sir.
It's going to be tough to have a board meeting and a workshop to get everybody there. So I think if we can incorporate both of those into one meeting, that would be very helpful.
So in this...
Do we have to hold the whole day?
I don't know how long we need to set aside.
That was going to be my question. Should we consider a big chunk of time?
4 hours, 10 to 2?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and block it off.
Yeah.
And
well, by the time you travel and meet and have lunch and go home, it does pretty much knock your day out.
So start at 10:30 and we'll get done when we get done.
I just think we go until we're done.
Yep.
You know, hopefully in 4 hours we can get a lot of what we need to get done completed. But, you know, we want to hear from you folks as well at the workshop, you know, what your thoughts are. So it's your chance to really have some good, solid input as to how we operate and how we go through the planning process and application process. So any more discussion on the upcoming meetings? Oh, no. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to just amplify one thing that you said. Senator Broxson is here, and if you weren't following the bouncing ball in the legislature, maybe you didn't catch this, but Senator Broxson introduced an amendment to the enabling legislation that passed. And his amendment was extraordinarily meaningful because, as the Speaker knows, it seemed simple to move the money from the CFO to Triumph Gulf Coast, but it wasn't so simple. It had to go through the appropriations process. Some people thought it did, some people thought it didn't, but what mattered was the guys with the gavel in Tallahassee thought it had to go through the appropriations process. But thanks to Senator Broxson, his amendment provides that there will be a deposit made from the funds received from BP by the state to Triumph Gulf Coast without having to go through the appropriations process. But as Speaker Benz indicated, the legislature can make changes. You know, no current legislature can bind a future legislature, and nobody's life, liberty, or property are safe when the legislature's in session. We know that.
Animals,
children, neighbors, friends. So the point is that we really the burden is on us to make, as the Speaker said, to make good decisions and put some wins up on the board. Because unless something is done by the legislature, to the contrary, thanks to Senator Broxson, we're talking about $1.5 billion that will flow through Triumph Gulf Coast as long as we do our job. And if we leverage that money, we're talking about $3 billion or $4 billion or $5 billion if we can bring private sector money, local government money, as the Speaker said, maybe federal money. So... this is the biggest economic development fund in the history of Florida, and we have a chance to have a significant role in making sure that it transforms our regional economy. And I only just wanted to thank Senator Broxson for taking the mystery out of what will happen next year and the year after that and the year after that. The burden is on us to do a good job. He put that burden on us, but he also took the burden off of us to have to go through the highly political process of the appropriation system in the legislature. And I don't know, Doug, are you still here? Doug Broxson? Senator Broxson did a great job for us, and he needs to be remembered for that. If good things are done over the course of time, the Broxson Amendment made that possible.
Okay. Well done and agreed. That was a tough process this past session. I mean,
yes, sir.
President Gates and I were both in the middle of it. And most importantly, it took our Senate delegation and our members of the House and the eight counties, members of the House and the eight counties. But ultimately, Don said, it's the guys that wield the gavel. You know, presiding officers are given immense power. You have to have immense power to oversee, you know, 158 people. You just have to have it. Some of them have egos, too. But having said that, the presiding officers were very, very, they told us they would keep the money in our area, and they kept their word. And I think I'm very proud of President Negron and Speaker Corcoran for making sure that they kept their word. That's a big thing in today's world. So having said that, any other member comments? Let's move on to public comment. We have Lloyd Richard. Sorry about that, Richard. From Pensacola Network. Welcome. Welcome.
Get your microphone, Lloyd.
He doesn't need much of a microphone.
commend you all on those efforts so far. And I'm a longtime resident of Oglesa County, now Scambia County. And as what I've noticed over the years, that minorities contribute over 30% of income in Northwest Florida, and that's not a well-known fact. And so what I wanted to recommend to the Trump Board as part of their staffing, that you create a director of inclusion for Triumph funding to make sure that minorities and women are directly impacted by the funding. This is consistent with what's going on across the country, and we need to kind of do that in Northwest Florida to show that we are taking care of our citizens.
Good. Thank you, Lloyd, and we will. Christian Wagley with the U.S. Green Building Council. Christian, welcome.
Good morning. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for being here in Pensacola. I'm the advocacy chair for our group. We actually cover the area from Pensacola to Panama City. Our members are mostly architects, planners, engineers, contractors who are interested in green buildings and communities, and these are buildings and communities that use less energy, use less water, are better places to live and work, healthier places to live and work. So a couple of just points I wanted to offer along those lines. You're going to be developing criteria. Obviously, you're going to get more requests for funding than you can ever fund, and so you're going to develop criteria to help you sort through that and bring the best projects to the top. One of the things I wanted to mention is making sure that you have a properly expansive view of infrastructure and definition of infrastructure. You know, we used to think of infrastructure as only water and wastewater and, you know, electricity and roads. Now we look at even things like parks and cities, stormwater facilities, which we need tremendously here in Pensacola throughout the Panhandle, facilities to make communities more walkable, more bikeable. The bike lane or the bike path, I know Senator Gates would know the one on 30A there, is one of the most popular in Florida, and it's a huge asset to that area for tourism. Even the facility here where we are and the institution we are here, where we are today, Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, I've heard Dr. Ford talk about the competitive advantage that he has in being at a walkable urban location and trying to attract the national and international talent he wants that would be harder to get if he was in a kind of drive-up suburban location. The people he's attracting, millennials, want to live in these places where they can walk to the coffee shop or, you know, go to the corner cafe or whatever. So the second thing that I would ask you in criteria is to reward projects that do more than one thing. Obviously, projects need to create jobs and they need to provide economic development, but maybe they do something else like serve an underserved community or a community that's economically depressed, or maybe they offer some additional environmental advantage. I served on the Restore Committee here in Escambia County, and that's one of the things we did in our criteria. And what happened is the best projects that did more than one thing actually did rise to the top, and I think that was a good learning experience from that. And so our Green Building Council chapter will remain available to you all, and we'll follow the process through. And again, thank you for being here, and we'll keep in touch.
So. Thank you. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Dennis. Stand up. Anyone else that wants to speak, raise your hand. Go ahead. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You got Graham.
Hey, Ms. Susan. Good to see you again. Y'all are really in for a tough go with Susan because she used to chop my budgets to death. She was in the legislature. But good, I'm glad you're on board. Good pick. Thank y'all, Commissioner Greg Fountain of Oglesa County, for the record. Vice Chairman, I just want to thank each and every one of you for serving in this capacity. You know, it's very seldom that in government or in business, you can look at a group and say, I trust every one of them to do this job. And this board, I trust every one of you to do this job. And I think this Triumph is going to be a success because we've got the right people helping us.
Thank you.
So thank you very, very much. And I don't know, can the counties donate space to y'all if we get a little, maybe a little thing on awards, a little preference? That's probably not appropriate.
Here they go, speaker. Here they go.
But I like how you think, though.
But we have some space in downtown Crispy for you if you want.
Thank you, Councilman. I appreciate that. Anyone else wish to speak? Please feel free. Yes, sir. William Harrison, you're recognized.
Good morning, William Harrison. I'm curious if some thought has been given to having an economist, or who is it that is going to help you analyze what is the economic impact and the sustainability as we go through the process? Is that something that the board will handle itself, or would you consider possibly someone else?
That's the application process, and I'll defer to Dr. Dana.
Thank you, Chairman. In the original legislation, it was stated that we would bring on an economic or economist professional. In the subsequent legislation, it's an option to bring on someone that can crunch the numbers, say these are the economies of scale, or this is your return on investment, we think, if we run all these models. So we, over time, we have talked to various or reached out to various economists and organizations that could fulfill that role, but we kind of were in limbo when the legislation started changing, and the limbo nature came from the option to bring on that professional versus the requirement. And then secondarily, whether we have the funds in place to secure that talent. You know, if not, then I'm sure there's other entities out there that have brain power that we could tap into. Did I answer your question, William? Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. State your name, please.
Deborah Doom, I'm the Dean of Grants and Federal Programs at Pensacola State. And I'd just like to ask Dr. Dana, as you are developing the RFP or application that possibly a draft be made available for public comment, like the federal government does with their grant applications, so that if there are any challenges to responding, they're identified before we start to write, which anybody that participated in the Restore application will remember there were some questions that were hard to answer.
Well,
go ahead, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I would think that we're going to move forward. I can't speak for the entire board, but I hope they agree. I would think we will move forward transparently, and that for me, the preference would be an application process that is the most simplex as possible. So not a 50-page, you know, something like you do for the U.S. EDA, even though we love them. They have a really complex, lengthy process. So, yes, I would imagine that once we gather community input and board input to create that framework, that, yes, that there would be the opportunity for suggestions on how to make it more clear. That said, I can't guarantee that the Triumph Council would respond and make adjustments based on all the input coming in after the fact. So I think we're going to move forward common sense wise and transparently.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Beth
McLean
with
AppRiver
and
I was
in Wired. And I just had a question specifically about the website. I see that you have HTTPS protocol, but I'm wondering as far as the development of the website, what steps are you taking forward for security metrics as far as the coding and make sure that the CMS system is not hackable because of all the information that's being uploaded?
That's a development question, and I'll have to direct you to our development team, and I'll be glad to do that if you give your contact information.
Yes, ma'am, you had a question. Or comment?
Good morning, Carol T. Bain with the Francis M. Weston Audubon Society. Since this money is a result of Restore money and we're wanting to take care of our environment that was destroyed, I hope that y'all will consider the environment when approving projects.
served on the Santa Rosa County Restore Council, and one thing we found is limiting the number of pages to an application. You can be overwhelmed if you're going to put these applications online. If you get a 200-page application, as opposed to maybe we're limiting to a 15-page application, it might make your work a little easier.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker?
Yes, sir.
If I could, I just want to quickly respond. Thank you for your comment. First of all, having worked with Speaker Benz in the past, I don't think he's going to let us do a 200-page application, even if we wanted to. He wants it pretty pithy and pretty to the point, and I would agree. Secondly, actually, this is not restore money. Just so we're all clear, this is money that the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, secured in a economic damages claim against BP. It is separate and apart and totally different from restore money. That being said, there's actually a schedule which we can provide you with, or which the Attorney General's office probably more appropriately can provide you with, and that is that BP provides a certain amount of money each year over the course of a dozen years. And some of those years, the funds are for specifically environmental purposes. And other years, they're specifically for Triumph Gulf Coast for economic diversification. So there is money for environmental purposes through the Restore Act, but these funds that we're talking about here have nothing to do with the Clean Water Act, have nothing to do with the Restore Act. It's a separate claim that our Attorney General was successful in pursuing against BP for the economic damages suffered by the state of Florida for lost revenues to the state as a consequence of the oil spill. Not to say that you can't keep environmental issues in mind with everything, but I just wanted you to understand that this is a separate matter.
Yes, ma'am.
I would just hope that projects that you choose do no harm.
Absolutely.
There
Absolutely.
You go. Great point.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to mention one thing before you leave the sunshine, is you didn't put out an RFP or a solicitation or search for officer and director's coverage, and it may be something you might want to do since you're going to be a very vocal and very...
That's a good point. Best idea I've heard today.
That's right. I'm all about that one.
Susan, you're on that. Back there. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure that it's on a lot of people's minds that since this these funds do come from the BP oil spill funds, even though it's not restored, it is still all connected to the same event. It would be very appropriate to use the funds for industries involving renewable energy and anything that, as the earlier speaker said, helps the environment rather than hurts it. For the Sunshine State to actually become the Sunshine State use this as a turning point to the renewable energy industry would be very appropriate. And since the whole world is watching, nobody has to remind the rest of the world how important it is to do this. And just hope that we can keep that in mind. I'm sure it's on the minds of lots of people that this is a very important industry to encourage here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Okay, members, any parting comments? I think we've gone through the agenda. Anyone have anything to add for the good of the order? All right. Vice Chairman Gates moves that we rise.